Looking forward to that. If you have your Bibles this evening, let's turn together to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's take a few minutes to think about what God is doing in the nation of Israel through Samuel. And just kind of getting started here, we saw how that Samuel was an answer to prayer. That's literally the meaning of his name, is God heard my request. And so we begin to see how that's starting to work now. And all right, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And if you have found your place, you're able, let's stand together in honor of the reading of God's holy word. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts and minds through your word. And let us hear your voice, Father. It doesn't matter what I think, what I have to say. God, these folks haven't gathered here to hear something from me. Lord, they need to hear from you. And I pray you will speak. God, I pray you will hide me behind the cross of the Lord Jesus. And I pray that you will be lifted up and glorified and honored, and that you will draw every one of us to your side. And Lord, prepare our hearts for this observance of the Lord's Supper together in a few moments. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we think about this chapter, it's a turning point in the book of 1 Samuel. It's an important chapter in Samuel's life. And so as we think about this, there's a number of things that just kind of come to mind here. But the first thing is that we see the child Samuel ministering unto the Lord before Eli. And, you know, there's a difference between ministering to the Lord and ministering for the Lord. Okay? There's a difference in that. You know, ministering for the Lord, well, that's serving somehow. Some of you got in here on Loving Branch Day and you were serving. You were doing whatever. You know, and well, that's ministering for the Lord. And yet there's something that comes before ministering for the Lord, and that's ministering to the Lord. You say, well, how do we minister to the Lord? Well, that's an interesting thought for us, but I want to suggest to you that we minister to the Lord in worship, in our love for Him, in our joy in Him, in praying, in spending time in the Word, in building up, you know, our hearts. In a sense, what we're doing tonight is ministering to the Lord. You say, well, wait a second. I thought we were coming here to, you know, to hear God's Word, to get pumped up, to get ready for the week, to, you know. Well, yes, but part of the way that comes about is we minister to the Lord. When you worship the Lord, you're ministering to Him. Worship is not for us. We don't worship so that, you know, something about us or for us. It's for Him. It's unto Him. And it should be, at least. Sometimes our worship may fall short of that, or our praying, or our giving, or our witnessing, or, you know, any other thing that we do for the Lord. But I want to encourage you that before God calls us to do some things, He calls us, first of all, to know Him and to love Him, to be connected to Him, and to have a vital relationship with Him. And Samuel was a young man. Now, we don't know at this point, we don't know his age. It just says the child Samuel. But, you know, estimates run anywhere from 12 to maybe a young teenager. You know, probably wasn't old by any means, but he was, you know, he was old enough to hear the voice of God and understand and take in what God was saying. So now here's the other thing that becomes important very quickly in this story. And that is that Eli, the priest, was not a good man. He was not doing a good job. He was, we saw in chapter 2, his sons were doing things that were wrong. They were taking the sacrifices that people were bringing and, you know, not even giving them a chance to offer their sacrifice. They were taking stuff before it was even given. You know, it would be like when we took the offering and I said, here, just give me that $100 bill. Just give me that 20. Give me that 10. Just give that to me. You say, well, preacher? Yeah, I mean, you know, you'd be upset. Well, they were folks then were upset, but there wasn't a whole lot they could do. There was a lot of power in the high priest. And if the high priest was not going to deal with those boys, and he wasn't, now he got on to them. You know, he got after him a little bit, told them y'all shouldn't be doing that. He shook his finger at them, but he didn't do anything about it. And so, in effect, he honored his sons above the Lord. And so that's the context here for Samuel's calling. And so, you know, it struck me as we were reading that, you know, boy, what a message to have for your first message from God. You know, God speaks to you that very first time. And it's not about Samuel, I'm excited about you serving me. I'm pumped up. We're going to do, you know, you're going to do great things. And I'm going to use you. No, it's, man, that guy Eli, he's a scoundrel, and I'm going to deal with him, and I'm going to deal with his house. But here's the thing about that. You say, well, man, that's kind of a rough for maybe a 12, 13, 14-year-old young man to hear, to have to take in, and then have to tell Eli about. Well, the only thing about that is Samuel's growing up in the midst of this. I don't think any of this takes Samuel by surprise, because I think Samuel already knows. And I think that's part of the reason that God told him what he did when he did. Because I think, and if, you know, I don't know this, you know, it doesn't say this, but I think that Samuel was probably upset by what he saw taking place. I think that probably bothered Samuel. And I think this was part of God's way of answering Samuel. And so, you know, sometimes we look at things and we say, well, you know, if my pastor was just a better pastor, a better preacher, a better man of God, then I could really be a man of God. Well, Samuel didn't have or didn't use that excuse. He could have had that excuse if he'd wanted to, but he didn't use that. And I want to encourage you that even when you feel like, well, my teacher, my leader, whoever it might be, is letting me down, that does not mean that you are exempt from doing what you ought to do, from serving the Lord Jesus, from being the man of God, the woman of God that God called you to be. So keep your eyes on Jesus. I think we've heard that a lot lately, but I want to encourage you. Don't get your eyes on any person. Don't get all, you know, fixated on anybody, for good or for bad. Because people will let you down. People will fail you. But the Lord will never fail you. And so, as a result of Eli's condition, I mean, we can pretty well see in this passage kind of what Eli was like. One of the things that happened because of that was that there was no, verse 1 says that there was no open vision. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. It was rare when God spoke. Now, we saw in chapter 2, God didn't speak to Eli. God sent a man of God there at the end of the chapter to tell him, Eli, judgment's coming. I'm going to judge you, Eli. God didn't speak to Eli's heart directly. He sent a man of God. Chapter 3 now, God doesn't speak to Eli's heart again. God sends the message to Samuel. And Samuel tells Eli. Well, what that says to me is that the man of God wasn't the man of God. And there was a reason that there was a scarcity of the Word of God in those days. And folks, you know, we can have a lot of things as a pastor or leader in our churches. But, you know, the most important thing to me is that if I'm not a man of God, if I'm not hearing from God, if I'm not focused on the Lord and listening to His voice and trying to obey Him, I've got no business trying to lead anybody. None whatsoever. Well, so we see here, you know, God had pretty much just stopped speaking to Eli. And, you know, Eli doesn't show any spiritual discernment to speak of. He, you know, when he saw Hannah, he thought she was drunk when she was there praying. Eli had no fire in his ministry, no focus, no passion, no power with God or with people. Eli, notice back in chapter 2, verse 29, he says, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Eli had chosen to honor his rotten, sinful sons, who were called sons of Belial, sons of the devil. They were wicked men. And so as a result, you know, Eli has forfeited his position of leadership. And God doesn't take him out immediately, but He does take him out. And so Eli's sons are immoral. They're sleeping with the women who come to the tabernacle. You know, it's a pitiful example of spiritual leadership. And so, you know, to some extent, we see that today. We see issues within the church. We hear of scandals and of failures morally and all kinds of things that happen. And we just need to keep our hearts focused on the Lord Jesus. We need to be focused on Christ. Well, so in the midst of all that, God speaks to Samuel. Now, it tells us here that it was in the nighttime. Eli had laid down, verse 2. And verse 3, the lamp of God was still lit. They would light the lamp in the evening. And it was a candle. It was not a lamp like we would, but it was a menorah. It was a seven-armed candlestick that they would use to light the area there right before you get to the Holy of Holies. And so it was during the night, and Samuel was lying asleep there in the tabernacle, and the Lord called Samuel. Verse 4. Now, this kind of reminds me of the verse in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You know, God speaks to hearts. We might not think He does, but He does. He speaks to people. And He will speak to you and to me. And the first thing He speaks to us about is knowing Him and having a relationship with Him. Well, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel said, "Here am I. Here I am." And he ran to Eli because that was the only thing he could think was that, Eli must need something. And so he ran to Eli. Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go lay down." Crazy kid. Gets laid back down, trying to go to sleep again. The Lord calls again, "Samuel, here am I." And he runs and goes to Eli again. "Eli, what's wrong? What do you need? I heard you calling." "I didn't call you. I'm trying to sleep in here. Now you go lay down and get some rest." And third time, the Lord calls Samuel. Samuel jumps up, runs to Eli. "Eli, here I am. For you called. I did not call you." Well, about this time, something kicked in for Eli. Now, I don't know. Maybe, you know, if you call me in the middle of the night, it may take the third time before something kicks in with me too. So, you know, I will cut Eli a little bit of slack here. But finally Eli says, "Well, you know, it just could be that God's calling you. The next time He speaks, just lie there, but answer Him. And just say, 'Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Your servant hears.'" And so Samuel went back and he lay down again. And the fourth time, the Lord came and stood there. Verse 10 says, the Lord came and stood. Now, that's a different thought. We haven't seen that up to this point. But the Lord was standing right there and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel. And look, everybody who hears about it, their ears are going to tingle." I mean, we're talking about something that when people hear this, they're going, "Really? What happened?" You know, it's one of those kinds of moments. And so God speaks to Samuel. Now, as I said, that's an interesting first message. That's a pretty heavy way to start out your walk with God. Because it says here, you know, in the verse 7, it says, "Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." So this was a beginning point for Samuel. But, you know, it is right there. And I want to just suggest to you that God was working in Samuel's heart before he ever spoke to him. And God's been working in your heart. You know, there's ways that God's been working in you all your life. And you may not have realized it. You may not have known it at times. But God was speaking. God was working. And Samuel was just ministering to the Lord. He was just doing what he knew he ought to be doing. And it's kind of reminiscent of Acts 13 and verse 2. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. And you know what happens there is that the church in Antioch is about to become a missionary center. And they're about to begin to send out missionaries. And verse 1 tells about the teachers who were there, Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and Saul. But in verse 2 it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And God was calling them. But what preceded that call was ministering to the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight. You may say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, minister to the Lord. Well, I'm not sure if I'm equipped for this or if I'm called to that or if I'm gifted in this area. Well, minister to the Lord. I mean, just focus your heart on honoring the Lord. Just set your heart and your mind on being pleasing to Him and loving Him. And you know what? When the time is right, God Himself will speak to your heart. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will help you to know exactly what He has for you. Well, and the other verse that came to mind was Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. And kind of tucked right into the middle of this passage dealing with finances and money is this little nugget that is certainly true with finances, but it will also apply to many areas of our life. Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And I think what Samuel was doing was he was starting with the small stuff. He was just, you know, helping out the high priest. He was doing whatever needed to be done. He was just serving. He was just working. And God had some great things for him. I mean, Samuel was going to be anointing kings. Samuel was going to be a mighty prophet of God as well as a priest of God. And he was going to be used greatly. But it started with little stuff. Sometimes I think we look at things and we say, well, yeah, I could do that job, but that's little. I mean, that's not very much at all. Why would I want to do that? I want something big. Give me something big, Lord. I need a, you know, big. First of all, you don't know what you're asking for, number one. Because God might give you what you're asking, and then you'd be going, oh, Lord, get me out of this. Give me something small. Well, start with the small stuff. And because honestly, when you're walking with the Lord and you're serving the Lord, there is no job that is small. Everything you do for Him, no matter what it is, it's important. If one of our guys is back here tomorrow night wiring a new ballast into one of our fluorescent lights back there that won't light up, and you might say, well, that's not a real spiritual job. That's not a real... You know what? That light is going to enable children or adults or young people to sit there and hear the Word of God, study the Word of God, learn, you know, interact with the things that teachers are giving them and telling them. And that person who put that in, they may never have an opportunity to sit back there or never have, you know, a calling to be present to teach or to do something that, but they've had a part in the ministry there. You know, there's nothing that you do for the Lord that's insignificant. There's nothing you do for Christ that is too small, unimportant. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. I mean, the smallest thing that you do for Him, do it. But do it for Him. Do it for Him. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for Susie. Don't do it for, you know, Fred. Don't do it for anybody. Do it for the Lord Jesus. And whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And do it with all your heart. I mean, let me just brag on her just a little bit because she's not here. And if she was here, I'd have to be really careful about what I said. But since she's not here, let me brag on Dana for just a second. Okay? Now, y'all go easy on Dana because, man, God's been working on Dana. And she came last week and she said, I've been staring at that bouquet of flowers up there on the pulpit for you know, I don't know what she said, but she said, I'm just about sick of it. And for some of us, that's not really a big deal. And we don't, I mean, I see it. It's flowers. It's okay. Anyway, so she says, I'm going to take some of this and I'm going to rework. If that's okay, I said, knock yourself out. Whatever you want, I'm good with it. So let me just encourage you in this. Dana, you know, brought one this morning that she took home and she'd worked over and put some new color in. And it is beautiful. It's great. But I want to encourage you. When you see someone serving in our church, love on them and encourage them. Don't come along with, well, why'd you choose? What's that? Or, you know, I mean, no. No. I mean, come alongside of people and encourage them, because what we need is people just serving the Lord, just doing what they can do and what something that, I mean, if you put me in charge of doing the flowers, I mean, I probably could come up with some things. I think so. But it might not altogether be pleasing, Miss Betty. It might not be the best thing. Well, thankfully that job is not available at the moment, so that's not a possibility. But, you know, be encouraging for Dana or anyone. Just let them know you appreciate them. But when you see Pitt folks serving, encourage them. But in your own heart, whatever you do for the Lord, do it for Him. Just do it for Him. And don't worry about what anybody thinks. Don't worry about if, you know, it's perfect or if it's, you know, whatever. Just do it as unto the Lord. And I promise you, if you are doing, if you're changing diapers for the glory of God, I mean, those little bottoms are going to be clean. And all is going to be well. Baby's going to be happy. Mama's going to be happy. I mean, it works. It flows. And that applies to our regular jobs, things that we do. Do whatever you do to the glory of God. All right, let's finish this up. God promises to Samuel. He tells him here, I'm gonna finish what I start. I'm gonna send a judgment upon Eli and upon his household. And it's going to be severe. It's going to be an issue. And Samuel, boy, he heard this. And it says here in verse 15, he lay until the morning. It didn't say he went back to sleep and slept soundly. It says he lay until the morning. I don't think he got another wink of sleep that night. I don't know if he slept at all. And he was just sitting there thinking, oh, how do I tell this to Eli? What if he asked me about this? This is not really comfortable. Here I am, you know, just a young man. And he's an older man. He's an established leader. He's been doing this all this time. And Eli forces the question. Eli calls him and says, what'd he say? And you better tell me. I mean, he kind of put some pressure on him. And Samuel just told him everything. But notice Eli's response, because I think this shows us something about Eli. Verse 18. Samuel told him everything, or every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. I don't know about you, but if that was me the Lord was talking about, if that was my family, I got a feeling I'd be down on my knees saying, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I was wrong. God, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said, I should have been faithful. I should have been doing what you wanted me to do, put me here to do. And instead, he just says, well, whatever. You know, he just kind of given up. And folks, that's one of the tools of the devil, is he will try to discourage your heart and get you so low that you just give up. Well, whatever. That's what the Lord wants to do. And you know, he kind of makes it sound spiritual. But folks, that's why God tells us to pray. You know, I mean, we know that God moves, God works, and He does according to His will. But He also tells us pray. And we see a lot of instances in Scripture where prayer changes everything in that story. And so before you write it all off and conclude, well, there's no hope, there's no, just give it up. I'm just going to, crawl into my little hole over here and die. And no, take it to the Lord and pray. Seek Him. Well, so there's Samuel's, beginning with the Lord. And it says Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba. You remember where Dan is? Well, preacher, we have had a few things going on since you talked about that a few weeks back or a month back in our study on Judges. Dan was the place that some of the tribe of Dan picked out in the very far north of Israel. And they just found a place that was secluded, a city up there that was cut off from everything around it. And they just went in there and wiped everybody out and they took over that city. And it became known as Dan. So it was in the extreme north part of Israel. Beersheba was in the extreme south part of Israel. So we're talking everyone in Israel from Dan. Well, from Dan to Beer, I'm directionally challenged a little bit. But anyway, from the north to the south, everyone knew, wow, this guy Samuel, he's something. The presence of God was real in Samuel. And I want to encourage you tonight. There's so many things that we can look at and we can say, well, Lord, I would like you to be able to use me, but and we have our excuse. I want to encourage you to know that the only thing that really matters is the presence of God in your life. And God is able to overcome every shortcoming, every failure, every flaw, every lack, everything that you don't have, everything that you say, well, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, I'm not this, or I'm not, well, I know we've got all these things in our mind, but all that really matters is the presence of God, because He transforms whatever He touches. He changes. He doesn't leave you the same. So don't limit God. The only thing that limits God, because we talk about God and His power, and He's so powerful. He is unlimited in power. But the only thing that limits God is our unbelief. That's the only thing that God says, I can't work with that. So I want to encourage you. You may have something God's been kind of leading you to. You may not have a clue. You may just be trying to minister to the Lord. Well, that's awesome. And we all need to be focused right there. So in a few moments, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. And it's a special way that we have of remembering what our Lord has done for us. And just celebrating it. So, it's an awesome moment, and for us as believers, but it's also a time when we need to examine our heart. We need to figure out, where I need to be? Am I walking with you, Lord? Is there anything in my heart that's wrong? Is there anything in my life that would dishonor you? Because here, that becomes important. That becomes important because 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that when we do not discern the Lord's body, and that can be interpreted a couple different ways, but we are the Lord's body. If we're not right with one another, if we're allowing sin, bitterness, anger, antagonism, whatever, what we're doing when we receive the Lord's Supper is we're eating and drinking damnation. That's what the Bible says. And Paul said that some of those people in Corinth were sickly because of some of the issues within the church. And some had died. Some had fallen asleep was the literal way it says it, but it means that they had died. And so I don't know about you. I want to be right with God, and I want to be right with people, but I'm not perfect, and I mess up every day. And so I need to come back to the Lord and just say, "Oh God, cleanse my heart and my mind. Wash me. Make me clean and pure." And He says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that's what we need tonight. This is a moment for you to do that. And just go to Him in prayer. We're going to have a moment of invitation. And if there's something I can pray with you about, I would love to do that. Some need in your heart, or you need to be saved. That's awesome. I'd love to pray with you. But let's just take this moment. Just give whatever's in your heart, whatever's pressing on your heart. Give it to the Lord. And just prepare our hearts for what we're about to receive in a moment. So let's bow. Father, thank You so much for Your Word, for the way You spoke to Samuel. And we pray, Lord, that You help us to be focused on ministry to You, Lord. Ministering to You, loving You, and serving You. Just doing whatever we can do and are given to do, to worship You and to praise You. And this Lord's Supper, Lord, is an act of worship. And it's an act of praising You and remembering what You've done for us, thanking You. So, Lord, help us to minister to You in this moment. And, Father, if there are things in our heart that we need to confess to You and get rid of right now, I pray You give us grace. Give us grace, Father, to die to self and allow You to live in us. And God, just come. Help us to surrender ourselves to You in this moment.